Huh? That's that song. Is it this song we just sang, just the verses? Talk about the song Brother Begley used to sing to his family all the time. What's the name of it? Yeah. Didn't you sing that, Lynette? I'd like to hear that right now. Yeah. Well, Sister Weiniger, maybe. Whichever one of you sings it. Go right good right here. Buddy, please sing me that song. Hallelujah. If you're breathing air today, you're blessed.
Amen.
Praise God. It's good to have Sister Curtis and her mama. No, I saw her mama's here too, isn't she? She wasn't here. There was three of y'all sitting there when I came in the door, wasn't there? Rochella, was you over there with them? Oh, okay. I didn't recognize you. Anyway, what's your friend's name? Edith? Keela. Keita. Keita? Spell it for me. K-I-T-O? Hey, Keita. All right. We'll get it right if we just keep working on it. And CJ and Elijah.
All right.
Raise your hand, CJ, so everybody can see you. Elijah, raise yours too. Yeah, look at him. Elijah is the one that's he is a sanguine. I mean, you don't have to worry about it. Elijah getting his. He's going to get his. CJ has to work on it. He's not as forward as Elijah. But they look like little gentlemen this morning in their suits. We're glad they're here, aren't we? And yes, Sister Michelle. I spoke to her, but I hadn't mentioned her. Brother DJ and Sister Natalie's mom. We're glad she's here. She ought to be here all the time, I think. Who else is here this morning? Sister Granada? Huh? Renata. Where do y'all come up with all these names anyway? All right. God bless you. We're so glad you're here. Happy Mother's Day to all you precious mothers.
Happy.
I got a precious. We're going to. We ordered food brought in today so that the mothers wouldn't have to come and cook and everything. And the young people are going to do the serving today, and the husbands are going to do all the cleanup so the women don't even have to go in the kitchen. Yeah, I can get the women to clapping now. All right. That doesn't include the little future mamas to be. They're still serving their mamas, the girls, in other words. But your day's coming, see, where you won't have to do nothing on Mother's Day. Praise God. There's several out today. The Pryors are out of town. Sister Donna went to church with her mother. Sister Abraham's children wanted her to go to church with them this morning. And there's others out. I can't. Yes, Sister Fisher's went to her aunt Della Rosa's. What was her first name? Maria. Her funeral. She passed away this past week. All right, let's just let your toes run out all the way out to the end of your shoes and relax and enjoy the service today. Let the Lord bless you.
looks upon me as I struggle along. They say I have nothing. Damn. They are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. A roof that's better up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Oh, thank you, for your blessings on me. Oh, I know I'm not wealthy by this world's point of view. I don't have much money. Oh, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. Though this world
verse, the words up there for just a minute. As I was singing, y'all don't want to keep standing. I'm not going to start singing again. Just as we were singing that, though, I was just thinking about those words. And the natural application, of course, is really easy to see. And I am thankful for the natural blessings for my home and, you know, food and clothing and just the natural needs that he's providing. But I don't, it just kept coming to me, the roof, the covering that I have spiritually, that he's brought me to this place, this shelter, this covering, and the place to sleep. I just thought of it, you can rest, thinking of how he tells us to rest in him, and I know I can. I can rest and trust in him. There's food on the table. We were fed some this morning in Bible study. The food and the truths that we hear and that we know, I'm so thankful for that. There's shoes on my feet. The Bible says to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and I'm so thankful for those blessings that he's given me. He gave me his love, and not only my natural family, but all of you, this fine family, and the ones all across the world in this body, and I'm thankful today for his blessings on me, natural and spiritual, for what he's given me, for where he's brought me.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's a day that we certainly all should feel blessed. Oh, no, I do. Here's a little ring somebody may have lost. It's got little hash marks on it. Not no hashtag, but hash marks. How many of you know what hashtags are? Raise your hands. Keep them up. See, half of you are with it. The rest of you are just like me. You're lost when it comes to hashtags. You know what a hashtag is, Sister Tally? Well, ask your daughter. She knows. She'll explain it to you. Yeah. Ask CJ or Elijah. They know. Those are skin tags, Brother Jerry. It's not quite a hashtag. Sister Keita, you just have to come more often because it gets better than this, really. Sister Curtis's aunt passed away. She's been gone. And of course, they had the funeral and all, and that was a real loss to them. I know. We're sure sorry for your loss, but we've been praying for you, and sure good to see you back. Miss seeing Brother and Sister Crow next to you there. They were here last Sunday, but they just can't make it every time just right now. Keep praying for them. I sat down this morning and I got my little mother a Mother's Day card, so I was writing her a little note in there. And it just, you know, we're living in such a busy world that you almost have to sit down and be still a little while and get your mind on something to think. But I appreciate, you know, I'm thankful we have things like Mother's Day and Father's Day and times to recognize like Christmas and Easter. I know that some of that all is man-made, but I'm still thankful that somebody was thoughtful enough to say, let's make a special thing out of some of this to stop and recall and have a time of appreciation. Because I thought about my mother and what a good mom she was, raising us boys. And of course, one of the things that is amazing to me, I knew something was grossly different when Sister Smith and I married, and Michael was born, and when he was just a little baby, I'd wake up in the night, and she wouldn't be in the bed. She'd be in there taking care of him, and I wouldn't even know. I didn't even hear him. I didn't know what was going on, you know. And it put me in awe, thinking, you know, she was so dedicated to that, and so driven by something internal that's in a woman that I just don't think it's in men. I think there's something, men are built differently. That maternal instinct that's just there. We had one of our female dogs, most everybody knows we raised German Shepherds. German Shepherds. We used to raise German Shepherds. We raise standard poodles now. We've raised standard poodles. I'm only about 15, 20 years behind. But one of the females that had baby puppies had a uterine infection, and we had to take her into the vet, and she had to stay. She almost died on us. And so we had these little baby puppies, and they were too young to lap milk, so they had to be bottle fed. And I'm telling you, it's a job to feed 8 baby puppies about every 3 or 4 hours around the clock. But we had 2 other females that had just weaned puppies. And standard poodles are so maternal that you can take one of them and put it with a puppy. They'll take a puppy just like that. In fact, they'll take them when they don't even have any milk to feed them. They just love babies. But these still had milk. We just weaned their puppies, and we put one of them with them, but she wasn't giving them enough milk. So we tried the other one, and the other one did better. But neither one of them, they would take care of them as far as feeding them, but you could tell that they wasn't theirs. But when we got her mama back from the vet and got her, it took maybe a week. In fact, she even developed mastitis. We had to doctor her for that. But when we got her to where she could, and we put her back with them babies. And of course, when we brought her back, she would grab the little baby toys, dolls, you know. And she wanted them babies. She wanted to know where they was at. And when we finally let her with them, you could tell, this is the real mama. It's kind of like the story in the Bible where Solomon, in his wisdom, you know, the two women that had babies, and one of them had laid on her baby and killed it in the night. And so she put the dead baby with the other woman. And there's a little bit about that story. I always wondered how in the world she ever could find a mama that slept so sound that she didn't know it when another woman got her baby, even, you know, in her sleep. Because I've just seen so many women. But anyway, it happened. But Solomon, you know, when he said, well, just cut the baby in half and give half of it to one of them and half of it to the other one. And when one of them spoke up, said, no, said, give her the baby. He said, give it to this one that just spoke. That's the real mama. Well, and of course, he was noted from that time for his wisdom. But this mother never has come back fully to all of her milk. She's milking them, but not like she should. So Sister Smith's now got them. They're old enough now to lap milk and put some little pureed food or food softened food in there with it. And she's, you know, the other mothers that we put in there with them, she wouldn't clean them up. But Sister Smith was telling me yesterday, said her mama, said she just, they, now they're eating and they're getting all that other food in their hair around their mouth and all that milk all over them, you know, they put their feet in it and everything else. And Zoe, that's the real mama. Zita. Kita. Kita. She said she licks them clean. She cleans them all up. She cleans it. I mean, they're just clean as a pin, you know, because she's the real mama. And God did something. You know, when he made, if you look in Genesis, is it right there? Is it the first chapter where, let's see. Where God made, have to find it, I guess, here in just a minute. Where he made Eve. Okay, let's see. In the second chapter and 22nd verse, it said, in the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. I want the scripture. It's right here, or just where it said that she was the mother of all living. Maybe in where he made. Okay, that's when after he gave the. Yeah, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. It's hard to for me to go back to a pre-Adamic race on that verse right there. She's the mother of all living. But he called her woman. He evidently, when he saw her, he said, whoa, whoa, man. He recognized that God did something great when he made this helpmate. And when I was writing this little letter, a few verses or sentences to my mother this morning, that my mind went back to the kind of mother she was. And of course, she's 93 now, and she don't remember very much. You know, I mean, she can't really. Sure, her body's still here, but her mind's just about gone. She still can remember, but she's real good at making you think she can remember what she can't remember. My Well, she just fakes it a lot, you know. She just, you know, she thinks she's supposed to remember it. She say, I guess I do. But you start asking her questions, you find out she really doesn't remember it. But some things she really can remember. But one of the things that all puts me in awe of all moms is their children just can't do enough to destroy their love for them. I mean, a man can get to a point and just about write his kids off. But a mama, you can't get a mama there hardly. They just, in fact, the one thing that I know that, you know, my wife would turn on me is when I start messing with our kids or our grandkids. And when I start, if I get down on one of them, she's got a certain look that she can look at me. And I know this is serious. I've messed up big time. Of course, she doesn't change me, but she just don't move on her position. She understands me to some extent, I think. But when it comes to what she mothers, sometimes I wonder about, I've always wondered about Cindy, you know, Ann, we were so close to them that Ann got so close to the grandkids, it's a wonder that Cindy could hardly tolerate as close as Ann got to the kids. I'm sure there was times that it was testing on her. But now she's got her own grandkid, and I think she understands a little better. You smarten up as you get older in this life. Things happen that just makes you understand. But my mother was always there for me. And I just so appreciate God having the wisdom to build that into a woman. And one of the reasons I'm not only bringing this up because it's Mother's Day, of course I probably wouldn't talk on it if it wasn't. Something would have to get me in this line of thinking, but I was just thinking yesterday and today about it, this week some. Because I know that the church is called the mother of us all. Somebody, I heard a preacher one time, in fact it was James Souders who it was, and this is original with him. They was having a minister's meeting years ago, and they were talking about Adam being of the earth, earthy. He was made of the dust of the ground. And Brother Souders said the earth was Adam's mother. God was his father. And somebody popped up the question and said, well, who was Jesus' mama? I gave that. We talked this morning on the first two chapters of Hebrews. And those two chapters are, especially the first chapter, is pretty emphatic about Jesus being the one that made the worlds. He created everything. He was the image of God. God called him God. Called him a God. He was a God. He was made by inheritance. He was made higher than the angels and had a more excellent name than them by way of inheritance. There are scriptures that would if the right preacher was talking on it, he would, many preachers have convinced a lot of people that God and Jesus is the same person. The scriptures just won't bear that out. Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. You can't be a creature unless you've been created. That's what a creature is. He is a created being. And he was made a little, he was made better than the angels, it says in Hebrews 1. Higher. He had a greater inheritance than they did. God, I'm just going to throw out a few scriptures or just a few thoughts on that. This is certainly not my thought, but just in case somebody's tried to persuade you of that persuasion, because every truth opens up more truths. And, of course, the Trinitarian doctrine is a doctrine from the Catholic Church that tries to make a person out of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not true either. The Holy Ghost is just the Spirit of God the Father. It's God's Spirit. Jesus was born of his Father's Spirit. He was made of his own Father. He came to this earth made of that. He didn't have to be made over again. I said in Bible study, he was the first embryo transplant. He was reduced to a seed. And placed in Mary's womb. He took on immortality. He became a human. He became a man. He was mortal and subject to death. God the Father could never be subject to death. But even angels can't die. The scriptures, you know. That's why he was made, the second chapter of Hebrews says he was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He had to be made lower. He had to take on another form to die. Here's some other thoughts. I know the scripture in Isaiah 45 says there's just one God, but that you have to take that in its context. It's talking about idols, Israel following after idols, and there is just one God. Him and his son are one. There's only one eternal, invisible God. He has a son, and his son is the God of the Old Testament. His son did everything. He created everything. But and then Moses sat down with him and ate with him, saw him face to face. But the same Moses wasn't permitted to look on his father's face. He hit him in the cleft of the rock and said, "You can see my hinder parts, but you can't see my face." But he saw him in another scripture. He saw the Lord face to face. You got to harmonize that. You got to be realistic about that. What's the difference there? Well, there's two of them. That's the difference. Jesus was seen face to face. Abraham saw him. Moses saw him. But no man has seen God and lived. No man's seen God's face. That's reserved. That place is reserved. You'll have to stand before God one day, changed, immortal, to see his face. I want to be one that has that blessing. Wouldn't you like to see God's face, the eternal God? My Lord. I want to see Jesus. I said today, Jesus had a He remembered everything from the day he was created till he was reduced to a seed and placed in Mary's womb. He knew all that. In fact, he was so awesome. It's amazing that he had the mind, the intelligence, the wisdom to create the worlds, heaven, and even the angels. Jesus created the angels. Just read the first chapter of Colossians, the first chapter of Hebrews, and the first chapter of St. John. You can't gainsay that. Jesus created everything that was created, except God created him. And that exception is in 1 Corinthians 15. It tells you clearly. It's accepted that God didn't put everything under his feet, for he that put all things under him is accepted. There's an exception. God's the only thing that's not under Jesus' authority. Jesus is under God. 1 Corinthians 11, God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man. So Jesus said, my Father is greater than I am. Anyway, let me get off of that and just get back on mothers. But God is a, you know, what he's made is so awesome that, and for us to be the mother of us, for Jerusalem, the heaven, New Jerusalem. Turn to Galatians 4. I believe is where it's at. Where it says that, verse 26. He's saying, well, first in verse 25, it says, for Agar, which is Hagar in the Old Testament, the handmaiden of Sarah, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. He's just showing that Hagar is a type of the law. But he's saying that, verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Of course, he's talking about, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. He's just showing that under grace, which is a picture of Jerusalem, that Jerusalem, which now is the mother of us all, talking about the church. I think he covers that too in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's look there. If I'd known I was going to talk on all this, I'd have studied on it, but I didn't know it. Hebrews 12:22 says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and into an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. So this heavenly Jerusalem, that's you and I have come to the church. And I was just thinking about Jerusalem being the mother of us all, that we're all to have this, you know, motherly attributes of having such a care for all that are in the body of Christ. And that, just like God, you can understand something about God when you think about your mother, that sometimes you wonder, how can God keep putting up with me? I keep making so many mistakes, but he's always there, no matter what. All I have to do is call out to him, You know, the Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance that need not be repented of. And if you want to get a hold of God, it takes a godly sorrow. You got to come, you got to get humble enough that God can touch you and help you. In other words, you've reached a place where you need God's help and you know it. That's a godly sorrow. See, just, you know, I mean, I've had people repent to me before and say, "I'm sorry." I said, "No, you ain't sorry. You're just saying you're sorry to try to get this solved. But you ain't sorry. Your spirit proves you're not sorry." And then there's people that can hit that sorrowfulness. Has to do with their temperaments, I think, sometimes. Some people can hit a true sorrow, but they can't stick with it, you know. It's not like a little boy hollering wolf. There really is a wolf there, but you know, in the case where people really hit it, but you get to where you don't believe them, which is the temperament, the phlegmatics. Phlegmatics are hard. They can't see themselves, and they can't ever see that they're wrong, and therefore they almost never repent. They can't repent hardly. That's a temperament that they just can't say, "I'm wrong. I did something wrong. I'm sorry." In their mind, they didn't do nothing wrong. You're the one that's wrong. but when God kind of finally helps them, they can stick with it because there's a certain loyalty built in to that phlegmatic temperament that stay with it. They really stay with it. I think it's a sanguine probably that has the biggest problem, you know, being able, you know, because a sanguine can just, they can get in the moment at almost any given time. A sanguine can just, you know, in other words, whatever's going on, they can be a part, they can feel your hurt, your pain, or your, and 5 minutes later, they can feel joy with somebody else and be shouting and laughing and happy. And 5-10 minutes ago, they was crying and sobbing, and they meant it both times. They were serious. It was really heartfelt. But it's like my wife likes to tell the story about my mom. My mother was the kind of person that would like that in some ways. She would, and one time she told my dad, she said, "What's wrong with people?" She said, I can be mad at you, and I can get you told, and 5 minutes later, I forgot it. It's over." And he said, "Well, Bonnie, the thing is, you need to understand, is everybody that you get told ain't getting over it in 5 minutes, and it ain't over for them, and they ain't forgot it yet. You need to realize that." She said, "I could hug your neck in 5 minutes. That all is past." She said, "Everybody ain't like that." He said, "They don't want you. Everybody don't want to hug your neck after you get them told." Anyway, the church. Always on Mother's Day, I like to read this chapter in the Bible, and Proverbs, the 31st. I think we ought to go over at least once a year. 31st chapter of Proverbs, the virtuous woman. And that's a woman with strength. A woman with attributes of righteousness. And this, just remember while I'm reading this, I'm talking about, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, if you're part of the church, you are to have some of these attributes. This, God ought to be instilling this in your life, because you are part of this heavenly Jerusalem that's the mother of us all. It's taking care of us. That's why you'll hear people in here, they'll say, when they get this revelation, see, I wish I could just give the revelation to people, but God has to give it to you. But what you've got to understand about this people, we have hundreds of churches in the United States and all over the world now, but we're not part of an organization that's man-made, but this is an organism. This is something God's doing in the earth, just like the New Testament church was something God did in the earth, and He's gathering His people together in one body and one spirit. And until you get the revelation that this is that people, you'll be caught up with all kinds of things. But when people get this revelation, here's what you'll hear them say: I found my mother. I found my mother. I came up in Christianity out in Pentecost, out in Babylon. Babylon is this religious world out here that don't really have a revelation of what God's doing. They've just got an understanding of salvation, repentance. You know, repent. Maybe some have the revelation receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And sinning and repenting and sinning and repenting and just doing the best you can do. But they don't really understand the plan of God. They don't understand the doctrine of resurrections. They don't understand perfection, eternal judgment. They really don't understand all of the whole plan of God. It's because the church fell away and went into darkness. And that's why all these different teachings are out here in the world. But when you come in here, in this heavenly Jerusalem, and you begin to get a revelation of what God is doing and restoring the truths. When you see men like, I don't know how many of you have got the tape from Brother Painter. I'm letting it go out to everybody. I don't think there's anything we need to hide about it. Of the Jacksonville ministers meeting. There's some very bizarre things that was talked on there, but when you see men come together that have the kind of spirit that these men have, that can discuss the Word of God and be grossly different in what they understand and what they're teaching, and men that will stay together no matter what until God gives us the answers. You just can't find that anywhere. Not that I know of. And I've searched. I was searching when I found this. But I had a different mother out there. She was kind of like that dog I was telling you about. She took care of me, but she didn't clean up after me. She fed me, but she didn't have enough milk to feed me all I needed. She took care of me in a way, but it wasn't the real mama. When I got in here, Brother Daniels, I found something. I found something that would take me, who I am, and love me no matter what. You know, they can get done with you out there. But in here, we'll just keep taking you back. We'll just keep loving you. We'll just keep trying to help you. I don't mean you ain't going to pay. You'll reap what you sow, but you can always come home to mama. There's a mother in New Jerusalem that's not anywhere else in the world. It's a virtuous woman. In the 10th verse of Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Jesus is building something in us that He can trust. This is Beulah land. What's that word there in Isaiah 40? She shall be called Hephzibah, married. Her husband, this, I know this is, you can apply this to a natural woman, but this really applies to the church. This is deeper than just a woman, just a natural woman. You natural women, you ought to look at it and take it and try to pattern yourself after it, but it really applies, the depths of the understanding of the Scriptures applies to the church. The heart of her husband does safety trust in her. We're becoming more and more virtuous, and the more virtuous we become, the more Jesus is going to trust in us. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. That she makes clothes with wool and flax. That's what, you know, she made clothes for her children back years ago. You know, women used to have to do a lot more. I know growing up as a young boy, I wore feed sack shirts that Mama made. She cut them out of feed sack material and sewed them up for me to wear. Me and my brother, we wore feed sack shirts. She wore feed sack. How many of y'all remember feed sacks that people made clothes out of? They were made out of cloth, and women sewed clothes out of them. And but she's willing to clothe her children. In other words, she'll work with her hands, and that's a picture. The hands is the ministry in the church, and the Word of God will clothe you. This is all of this is a woman. This is the church of Jesus Christ. And she'll work. And she'll clothe you. She'll clothe you with the righteousness of God's Word. And, of course, it's the hands is the ministry, but the church is part of, you know, if you're part of the church, you're part of the ministry. You're the extension of the ministry. You don't only get the benefit, but you're also part of the works of it, because it works in you and it works through you. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Mamas are like that. They like to come up with things, little specialties for their children. They like to figure out how to cook something that they're husband and their kids like. Something that's different. Something that lets them know they are special to her. And so she's always looking for new things to give them and to please them with. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. We're bringing food from afar. We're reaching all the way back into the New Testament and picking up the real revelation that was given back there and trying to get the true understanding of what the purpose of Jesus Christ was and what was clothing and feeding and preparing that church to fulfill God's purpose. I mentioned this morning, I said, we don't have what the New Testament church had, and there's no sense in lying or fooling ourselves to think we do have it. But we have a lot of restored truth, and we're still don't have the church restored yet, but where we are in restoration, we need to be thankful for. But we also need to understand that God is still He's still restoring the church, and we don't have a full restored church yet. Now, I wished I could tell you that you can't. You know, what's that saying? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. You can't fool me in believing that if you just believe what the Word of God says, you'll have it. You can't fool me into believing that. I've done already, tried all that. Brother Paul David, I remember when they said, look, just claim your healing. I remember when I took my glasses off one time. I folded them away. I said, I'm claiming my eyesight. Bless God, Brother John, I believe it. I believe I'm healed. I'm going to be healed. I can see. Hallelujah. And I'm not changing on that. Yeah. And I drove around for about a year blind as a bat. And I don't know how many wrecks I almost had. One day I was driving from where's that place we lived? That makes me so mad. Ed, where did we live in the hill country? What was the name of that town? Kerrville, Texas. I couldn't get it. It wouldn't come to me. I was driving from Kerrville, Texas to Austin, Texas. And I almost had a wreck. Winding roads. And I had my glasses. You know, I couldn't see good, Brother Tally. I pulled off the side of the road after I nearly had this wreck. I said, God, if you get me home in one piece, I'll go get me a pair of glasses. Because I ain't healed. I can say it all I want to and try to believe it, but I'm blind as a bat. And I said, I'm going to get me some glasses till you heal me. And I don't know if he is ever going to heal me, but I just finally had to fess up that I don't matter how much you think you believe it, how much you confess it, profess it, name it and claim it, you ain't going to have it. God's going to have to do something to help us. So I got me some glasses, and I've been driving much better ever since. I had a buddy at the time. He had muscular dystrophy. He was in my nursing home that I was running. And he had a cane. He was walking around. He throwed his cane around. He fell down. I don't know how many nearly broke his hip. And I finally, when I got back home, I sat down and told him, I said, you go get you a cane. You get your cane back. He said, I ain't getting no cane. I'm healed. I said, you ain't healed anymore than I'm healed. I went and ordered me some glasses today. And if you don't get you a cane, we're going to have you in a wheelchair before long. I said, you ain't healed. You run around here lying, saying you're healed, just like I was lying, saying I could see. I said, God ain't healed you. You're crippled. I said, get you a cane or a walker or something, and get around in it until God helps you. I said, this is tomfoolery, whoever he was. Anyway, we don't have what the early church had yet. But saints, we've got more than, we're so blessed. And to think it's going to get better than this. It's going to get better. It's the riches of God. The oil of gladness is on its way. We're reaching back and getting food from back there. She brings her food from afar. She riseth also while it's yet night. Look, right now, do you know it's night to a lot of people out here? A lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's night. They're in darkness. They don't know. They don't have understanding. They don't have knowledge. It's very limited. They're walking in darkness. But she rises in night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Thank God. Somebody, God's woke them up early. Somebody feels the urgency and the need and the having enough zeal to get up while everybody else is sleeping. I've often thought about that. My mama was that way. My grandma was that way. I'd wake up, I could smell bacon cooking. I'd wake up, I didn't know how long she had been awake. And they're cooking, getting things ready. I didn't even think about getting up cooking nothing. That wasn't even in my thought pattern. But it's in hers. It's just built in a woman. Got to take care of the family. Got to take care of my man and her children and his children, our children. That's my life. That's built into. It's built into a woman. And she doesn't mind getting up early, doing the necessary things to take care of. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. This woman's busy making sure that we're going to have something for the future. When you plant something, you're expecting a harvest. Thank God for a people that realizes that we're having to labor and somebody's going to reap where they labored not. Somebody's going to have something that we planted. We've got a vision of that. We know there's a future for the children of God. And they need, there's going to be a harvest. They're going to have food. They're going to have clothing. They're going to have needs met. Thank God somebody's on the job. She girdeth her loins and with strength and strengthen her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Aren't you glad when you go through dark times? This body will give you this. You go through a dark season in your life. You go through struggles. That's when it gets dark. You can get so caught up in a trial. You can get so caught up in troubles and problems. Things get dark. You're not seeing as clearly. Your vision's not as great. But this heavenly Jerusalem, it'll give you a candle for the nighttime. It won't go out at night. You'll still have enough vision to see in the night, enough that you won't be overtaken by the night. Be able to stay and do what needs to be done in the night. Others are sleeping, but you're up working. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to hold to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's just always there to serve. Always willing to give a little, help somebody out. You know what? Because it's that motherly instinct is there. To see a need, to see someone in need. That's one of the things that amazes me about those standard poodle females that'll just take a little baby. They may not do as good a job as mom would do, but they still see a need and they're willing to try to help with it. Willing to give something to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's, in other words, she's not worried about winter coming because she's prepared for the winter. She's made sure her children have got coats. She's made sure that they've got proper clothing for cold weather. That's like the troublesome time I was talking to you about. You're going to go through cold periods. You have to have what it takes to get you through a spiritual cold spell. You've got to have enough. You've got to be equipped enough that you can withstand that. You can endure through that. All that's important. You're going to go through it. I said in Bible study, look at it this way. I said, here's where you're at in your growth in God. And here's where God's revealed to you. He's revealed to you that, you know, this is where He wants you. But here's where you really are, where you're established so far. And you try to live up here. When you go through a cold spell, you'll come right back down to where you really are. and you're somewhere between here and here, but here's where you really are. That's why when you go through troubles and trials, and you think you're doing good and you think you're up here, but then you say, oh, I ain't up here, I'm down here. It can be frustrating, but God knows where you really are. But he's always pushing you to come on, move up a little bit. You can rise up. Look here, let me show you. I'm showing you this is where you could be. This is where I want you to be. And the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more. See, a light shines out to here, you think this is it. And God causes you to walk in that light. When you get here, it shines more and more unto a perfect day. Every time you walk in the light that he gives you, he'll give you some more light. And you'll see this ain't the end of it. There's more to it. And God just keeps prodding you forward. And the church, I'm glad. I don't know how. I couldn't go to a church that thought they had it all. I couldn't make it there now. I couldn't make it in a church that thought we got all there needs to be to go to heaven, because I know we don't have all we need. And I couldn't go somewhere that wasn't saying we need more. We need to move forward. There's something greater in God than what we've got. I'd go crazy going somewhere just thinking this is it. I think there's got to be more than this. That's this belief, you know, that I can't do no more than what I'm doing. I'm just a human being. I can't overcome sin. And whenever I die, God's just going to fix all this for me. Did anybody ever stop and think, well, why didn't God just make us all that way to start with? If we can't be nothing else, if we can't live above sin, if we can't be transformed, if we can't live a life of righteousness, then why didn't he, if he's just going to fix it for you, then why didn't he just make us fix to start with? And we'd all be God's little robots that's been made to serve him. Choose to serve him, and he takes us through a process of salvation. A lot of people don't understand the doctrine of resurrection. That's why they think when this life is over, it's over. It ain't over. There's a resurrection of the dead. In fact, there's a resurrection of the just, the unjust, and there's a resurrection unto life, eternal life. There's three resurrections the Bible talks about. One's a resurrection of the just. If you're living, doing all what you know to do, then you're resurrecting. You'll resurrect in the resurrection of the just. But if you're one of God's kids and you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to resurrect in the resurrection of the unjust. Here's what Peter said about that. God knoweth how to reserve the unjust unto the day of... how did he say that? God knows how to reserve the unjust to be punished in the day of judgment. To be punished. It'll take punishment to get you out of your unjustness. God's got a lot of kids, some of them out in the world. Some of them are right in the church. Do you know if you're just or not? Don't raise your hand. Especially if you don't say, well, I'm waiting for you to call on the unjust. That's when I'm going to raise my hand. No, we're not going to call hands. But you know, now some of you might think, I think I could be just. The just lives by faith. Are you living by faith? Are you living by all the faith that God's gave you? You got to measure faith. You got to live by it. The just shall live by faith. And so there's a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and then there is a resurrection. Paul said, he said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. That wasn't the resurrection of the just or the unjust. That was resurrection unto eternal life. The resurrection of just and unjust is a resurrection back on this earth. When God Jesus resurrected Lazarus, he was a just man, and he was resurrected right back on this earth and went back to living. And if you think God's just people goes to heaven when they die, then Jesus did Lazarus a real injustice. Because I wouldn't want him bringing me back. If I go to heaven, don't bring me back here. Don't resurrect me back to life here on this earth if I've done made it. And bring me back in a place where I'm still in question whether or not I'm going to make it. So, then verse 22 says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Those are silk, linen. Color purple is a mixture of blue and red, which is a type of God. Blue is the color of God. Red's the color of Christ. And together they're purple. Those are the colors of the curtains of the holy place and the sanctuary. That mixture of God and Christ. And to have that clothing, have the clothing of their righteousness and the linen garment. White linen garment that's to be representative of righteousness. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. We're making fine linen, white righteous clothing for the people of God. And girdles. We're making girdles in here. Peter said, gird up your pure mind. Gird it up. We're making girdles to gird up people's minds. Hold your mind in play. Don't let your mind wander. Don't let it wander outside the commandments and laws of God. Meditate on them day and night. You'll be blessed. You'll be like a tree planted by the river of water. Don't let your mind, gird your mind up. Your pure mind. You know what your pure mind is? That's the part of your mind that's been transformed. It's been quickened by the Word of God. It's been transformed. It's been changed. Gird that up. Guard that. Watch over it. Keep that. Keep your mind in that frame. Don't let your mind go out and take in all of this worldliness and ungodliness, wickedness of this world. I just thought, yesterday, the first open gay football player was drafted, the 129th 2014 draft of the NFL. Showed a picture of him and his boyfriend kissing one another right there in joy that he got drafted. I don't know how many times you've seen that. Showed it several times. And then our president got up and told what a great monumental move this was for America and the direction that it's going. I thought to myself, you ignorant fool. That's what I thought because I just thought he's ignorant. He's ignorant of the things of God. He's promoting something so ungodly and so, devastating to our country, and he's promoting it. I thought, God in heaven, help us. But you can't let your mind be taken in with those kind of things. They'll bring you right in that kind of thinking if you're not careful. Well, I understand. I understand what's going on in this world and what's making them do what they're doing. They're without God. I don't understand the ways of God. But my mind's got a girdle on it. God's girded my mind with an understanding of righteousness. I can't let my mind go. I've got to keep it girded up. I can't think of the ways of this world, the ungodliness of sinners. But thank God there's somebody that's making girdles and working with fine linen. Righteousness. Righteous clothing. And her husband's known in the gates. Now, gates are preachers. See, a real true man of God, they know the body of Christ. They know the assemblies of the body of Christ. They know the attributes. Somebody said, I can tell a man in this body when he gets up out of his chair, when he starts walking to the pulpit, I can tell he's in. I may not know him, but I know he's in the body. I don't know if I can tell every man that's just by the way he walks, but he don't have to talk very long. I'll know it. I know something about him. He's known. Her husband is known in the gates. Hallelujah. Thank God. Do you realize what God has done for you? You realize what God has done in the gate that opens up the way to heaven to help your gate know where he is and know who Jesus really is because of who his people are. What's happened to them? Because of her. Because of what's been planted in her. No wonder one day they're going to, the elders, are going to, the 20 and 4 elders in the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation says they're going to throw their crowns at his feet. They're going to fall on their face. They're going to see that the people of God, when the people of God, the four beasts around the throne begin to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, for thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. When the church really gets it all, and they finally give Christ his due place, the ministry is going to fall on their face, realizing that God's accomplished something through them that's got in the people. You'll be known in the gates among the elders. Hallelujah. I mean, there's something marvelous about that, saints, that right now in the body of Christ, these elders, these men of God, these gates of God, they know there's a difference. There's something different that God's wrought in our lives and in our hearts, in our people. They're a special people. They're different. They're not like any other people. Brought us out, put us in a special place. Hallelujah. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idols. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Don't it feel good when you feel like Jesus feels good about me? When you've got integrity with God, what a feeling. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Lots of daughters out here. But there's a woman that's excelling them all. This virtuous woman. Favor is deceitful and beauty's vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Among the ministry, let the assemblies, the work and labor and things that's been planted in their lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Let's receive the prayer request before we go downstairs and eat. And again, I want to announce that that we want all them. You know, this is dinner day, and I had them buy barbecue brisket from Corky's, I believe, is where we got it. And so the women wouldn't have to cook for us today. And I said, let's let the young people help us serve. The men will clean up the kitchen. We don't want you women to work in the kitchen. We still got some cleaning up in the church to do, but at least we're trying to take part of it off of you. But we want to do that. The men want to do that for our wives and our mothers today. So I didn't tell all the men that. I'm just telling you now, but I know you. I know you want to do it. And then, if you would, we'll receive the tithes and offerings in the sense of church paid for the food. If you was going to take your wife out to eat today, take her downstairs. You can feed her a lot cheaper downstairs than you can anywhere else. But if you put a little something extra in the offering, I'd appreciate it, since the church bought all the food. It would help us out a little bit. Let's remember Brother and Sister Crowe. Pray for them. God will help them. I know the time's coming. We won't even have them sometime. Let's pray. God will give them as much strength as would be in His will that we could have them a little extended period of time. So let's remember that. Remember my mother and the work over in the Dominican Republic. You would. And there's other needs here today. I know we need to keep praying for Dylan. I don't know the status yet. I think he's coming home if he hadn't already home, Brother Dodson. A 3-millimeter kidney stone he's trying to pass. Well, I've never had a kidney stone, but I've seen my wife go through having one, and I can feel for him just through what experience we went through. Yes, let's pray for him. God would touch him. Yes. Sister Holly, she'll get this Monday through Friday job she's applying for, so she won't miss weekends sometimes. What else? Any other prayer requests today, Sister Durham? Terry's dad. What's his last name? Fields. I don't know why I can't think of that. Brother Fields in Republic. He's in the hospital and hadn't been doing well. I don't know if he's home yet. They're even talking about putting him in a rehab center, I think. So keep him in your prayers, if you would. Sister Inez, yeah, let's keep remembering her. How many more treatments do you have? One. How's the side effects been? Hadn't had any? You have felt that. She's had some aching in her bones, but she's really hadn't had too much side effects from her treatment. So thank God for that. She only has one more left, so let's pray that she won't have any side effects from that. Sister Lynette. pray for Sister Lynette. God would help her find a, she's considering going back in the workplace. So let's pray God would help her with that. What else? All right, if you would, let's stand. Ask God to meet these needs. If the ushers will come, we'll receive the tithes and offering. And precious Lord, oh God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy to us for this day. God, we give you thanks for our mothers in this assembly and those that couldn't be here. And the mothers of us that aren't a part of this assembly, Lord, we still have a thanks and appreciation. God, ask you to touch us. Help us, Lord, to be this heavenly Jerusalem mother of us all that we've been reading about, the virtuous woman. God, touch us. Help us, O Lord. God, meet these needs that we've mentioned here today. Brother and Sister Crow, and touch Sister Curtis's family and this loss of her aunt. Comfort their hearts and help them, Lord. Help these that have these job needs, Lord. Work your will, your purpose, oh God, in our lives. Touch Brother Fields in the Republic, Lord. Help him. Oh God, we pray. Lamb of God, oh Lord. Touch Brother Stanley Fisher, Sister Fisher, as she travels. Protect her, Lord. Comfort her family in this time of loss, Jesus. Oh God, those that couldn't be here today, watch over them, Lord. Bring them back safe, secure. Praise God, praise God. Bless the food today. Hallelujah. God bless our fellowship and time together. We give you praise. Amen, amen. All right, you can be seated. Have a song and receive your tithes and offerings.
Can I thank you, Lord, for your blessings and so much more, for opening my eyes to the body of Christ? There are so many places that I know family of God.
remain standing. We're going to go ahead and dismiss and go downstairs, the one that's going downstairs. Been a good day. Appreciate the good words we heard today and good family we in. So we thank God for that. Let's thank God for this day. And yes. Okay. Tables set up downstairs for the, I've got two graduates this year. Remember them. Thank God that we have two graduates. And let's remember that today as well. So, be any other, anything else, any announcements? Yes, sir. It's coming Friday night. Camping out this Friday. May the 22nd. Okay. Yeah, see Brother Painter about that. So let's thank God for this day and pray that his blessings be upon each one. Lord, we thank you. We look to you, O God, to help us. Lord, help each one. Remember all your people, Lord. Bless our food today as well. Lord, we pray. Just help each need. Each need, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be God.